interesting situation is brewing at Brock University in St. Catharines. A public demonstration at Brock is being planned for this week when a professor disciplined for sexual harassment returns to the classroom after an almost three-year absence. His name is David Schimmel-Penink, and he's a professor of Russian history. He's scheduled to begin teaching a second-year non-compulsory course starting Thursday. The move comes after Brock received a binding arbitration decision on December 14th, requiring him to be permitted to return to the classroom. There's a group of students who have organized together, and some of them are graduates as well, and they say that people are pretty angry. The organization and Brock Student Justice Center holding a meeting today to talk about possible responses to Schimmel-Penink's return to teaching. They're organizing a public demonstration. Groups trying to share the info widely so students enrolled in the course are aware of the teacher. And one of the allegations is he's been off for 3 years, but not that hasn't all been discipline. That's been partly related to health issues and accrued academic leave. In other words, he had worked long enough to be entitled to that time off. And the incident in question happened in the fall of 2014, was reported to campus security in September 2015. An independent review launched by the school in January 2016 confirmed the student's allegations. And the student, in fact, was told by the school to keep quiet about the investigation, which determined the professor gave her alcohol and tried to force himself on her sexually late one night in his office. Joining us to talk about this, Howard Levitt of Levitt LLP, host of the Fabulous Employment Law, Sundays at 1 here on News Talk 1010. Howard Levitt, sorry for my lengthy introduction there. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Barb. No, it was actually quite interesting. It really shows the difference between arbitration cases in the union context and non-union cases. There's no question in my mind that this arose in the last year for certain because of morale's change over time and mores change. Before a judge, this would be cause for discharge and that would be it. He would have got nothing and he would have to finance it himself and he probably wouldn't have sued or he wouldn't have gone very far. But the coddled union employees are in an arbitration regime where they get results where someone like this can be allowed back in the workplace, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. So, the only choice the university would have, arguably, even this isn't so clear, is say, stay home and I'll pay the salary for the rest of your life, because there isn't even mandatory retirement anymore.
Right.
So until he says he would have otherwise stopped working, which could be at age 93, he'd continue being paid.
And in fact, I think a number of the students are not even calling for him to be fired. They're just saying we don't want him in the classroom. He's been off for the 3 years at full pay.
Well, they want him to continue to be fully paid then. And that's that's the consequence of that. If he doesn't come back to the classroom, the university would have to pay him a salary for the rest of his life, effectively. And that can't be right either.
I was listening. Evan Solomon talked about this afternoon, and I thought it was pretty interesting and actually very predictable that somebody called up. It was his first caller, in fact, and said very angrily, "What's the big deal? These are both adults."
Okay. I guess they are not living in 2018 or now it's 2019. Well, I think those arguments ended about, 23 years ago, maybe.
So,
any longer?
And I get it because I completely see how this is wrong. But you as an employment lawyer can explain to us why it is a big deal, even though they are both adults.
Well, presumably most of the time, unless we're talking about pedophilia, they are both adults. But that doesn't make it any less rape or any less sexual harassment. So it's just such a silly argument. They're both adults, so therefore you can sexually harass, you can be a predator with an other adult who's non-consenting. I mean, that's ridiculous. So the reality is, apparently it was found that he did it. He not only took advantage of a student, but tried to get her drunk at the same time and then physically forced himself upon her, and now he's going back to teaching more students. First of all, there's a role model issue, but secondly, it is, in fact, a real risk for women in that workplace.
I mean, the school says he's been disciplined.
What's the discipline, Barb? You've been paid for the last 3 years. What exactly is the discipline?
And that's the thing I'm not really understanding, because the school is being very vague. And one of the biggest issues I would have about this is the fact that the student was told by the school to keep it quiet.
Well, I have to delve a little deeper into that. I suspect what she was told was that during the investigation itself, as has commonly occurred, don't talk about it during the investigation. But the investigation ended 2 or 3 years ago. And I'm sure she wasn't told you can't talk about it after that. If she was told that, that's totally inappropriate, because you're allowed to talk about anything to anybody at any time, unless there's an ongoing investigation. You don't want to pollute the investigation by breaching the confidentiality while it's going on. But that investigation, as I say, ended 3 years ago.
And you, as you mentioned, in the private sector, this would be cause for discharge.
In the non-union sector, this would be cause for discharge. But the Coddle Faculty Association, we just have to look at the Wilfrid Laurier case, where now the two professors who victimized Lindsay Shepherd are now suing her as well. It's amazing the sense of entitlement faculty have, and they do it because they're represented by faculty associations. It's not costing them anything, and they get arbitration decisions like this.
Do you think that Brock University and other schools in this situation, would they love to just be rid of this professor and they can't?
I'm sure that's right. Who wouldn't want to be rid of him? Who needs the calumny that's descending upon Brock right now? And my concern on one level is that what they'll do is just send him home and pay him for the rest of his career. And universities can't afford to do that either.
It's an interesting case, and we'll see what develops over the week. I mean, the students say they've got this protest planned, and do you expect then that he probably won't end up back in the classroom if they're loud enough?
Well, it's a tough decision for Brock to make. On the one hand, if they send him home, he'll continue being paid until the day he dies, basically, because he'll never admit that he's incapable of continuing to work, but yet their funding will go to that rather than to another professor, which they probably badly need. If they let him keep working, then he can blame the arbitrator, and that would be a fair blame. But on the other hand, they're going to have continued bad will and maybe reduced enrollment. So they're in a real dilemma, and I feel sorry for Brock. Of all of this, I feel most sorry for Brock.
Really?
Well, look at the dilemma they're in. And it's not their fault. Look, I don't know enough about the case other than what you've essentially said on the air right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm assuming they fought the case as hard as they could. I'm assuming they had an adverse arbitration decision. I'm assuming this isn't the product of a settlement. If it's a product of a settlement, I don't blame Brock at all. They brought it upon themselves. But if they went to arbitration, fought their hardest, and lost, and there's enough arbitrators out there who would, if he had a clean record until then, would have it reinstated him, I think it's totally improper, but that's the arbitration world. Then I feel sorry for Brock.
All right, Howard Leavitt, always great to talk to you. And I'm doing this in reverse, but I normally ask you, where do we find you tonight?
At home.
Oh.
But the rest of the month, I'll be out of town.
Is that right?
Well, on cases. I came back from Miami 2 days ago. So today I'm home, and then shortly I'm off for the rest of the month. But cases in Canada.
How were the holidays?
Holiday was great.
Good, good. We'll talk to you soon, Howard.
Thanks, Barb.
Thank you, Howard Leavitt, Canada's top employment lawyer, Leavitt LLP. He hosts Employment Law Sundays at 1 here on News Talk 1010.